We're glad that you're here. If you're in Kidmo, you can head on upstairs if they haven't already. Oh, there's a few of them that have hung out down here. They go quickly. We're glad you're here. If you're a guest with us today, we're really honored that you chose to be with us. And I only have one other announcement to make, which is so we've been messing around with kind of layouts and stuff, and the art that you see that's been kind of bordering our sides over these last few weeks, we're going to move on and try something else. And so that all is for sale. And if you would like one, either write your name on the piece of paper. I think they're all $25. Is that right? They're all $25. Not the easels, just the art. And either write your name on it or pull it off and hand it to this guy right here, John, and he will take care of you, and you can take it home today. So we would love for that to all go home today if anyone is looking for some good wall art. I want to pray with you, and then we're going to start something new today, and I want to share a few stories with you and just see what God wants to do in us and through us, not only as a church, but also individually in our own lives. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. We thank you for just the heart of everyone, not only up front, but who is also just sitting around in this chorus of praise to you, because you are good, that you are with us and you love us. I pray that you would speak through your word and show us what it looks like to follow you and what you might be calling each of us to in the coming days. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Just one shout out. I think, I don't know if, well, Leilani may still be in here. Man, you were killing it. So, wow. And Lily, who's probably up in Kidmo, gosh, thank you all for sharing with us today. I really enjoyed that. We're starting a new series, and the whole concept behind what we're trying to do is, gosh, I'm just going to grab a handheld. The whole concept behind what we're trying to do is think about what God may be wanting to say to each of us in our own lives. All right, there we go. What God might be trying to say to you, and what God might be trying to say to us as a congregation. The title of our series is called Imagine Next, and I cannot take credit for that. I was introduced to that word several years ago from my brother-in-law, who is also a pastor. And I said, hey, I shared with some of our leaders here this idea, and I said, you know, they've got this great title. I don't know that I want to use it, but the feedback was, no, we should use that title. So I asked him, hey, do you mind if I steal this? And he was like, yeah, go ahead. So just so you know, I didn't come up with this. And I want to share a story or two that he also shared with me that I thought were really impactful for our first day together. Before we get started, I want to just kind of create a foundational level of some things that you should understand are behind this series. That we somewhat have to agree to if this is going to have any impact within our lives. And it's the big idea behind the idea that God always has a next in store for you. There's always something else coming. Now, depending on your background, that thing that you imagine is coming may be a good thing. Or you may have been through a hard season and the very next thing you think is coming will be a bad thing because it feels like a lot of bad things keep coming. But what we know is that in Christ, there is never not a next. So some of the foundational principles that we're going to be kind of building off of, number one is this: we are always becoming something. We are always becoming something. I think I have a slide for this. I don't see anything up there. There we go. We are always becoming something. We've talked about that several times over the last few weeks, that no matter where you are in life, something is moving you in a direction. You may or may not know what it is, but something is happening and you are becoming something. Number two is that there is great power in imagination to bring about what is not yet. And what I find in my own life is that stress and hardship and just being overworked or not having any margin, it just kind of kills the ability to imagine. But one of the most beautiful gifts God has given you and God has given all of us together is the ability to imagine, the ability to daydream, the ability to look outside of a window and just look beyond what you see and just dream. It's amazing what God wants to do with our imaginations when we let Him rein it in and show us this amazing thing He's doing around us. A third guiding principle is that Jesus will always meet you where you are. As a church, that comes down to the most basic principle that we have tried to function on, which is come as you are, no matter what that looks like, sounds like, smells like, it doesn't matter. When you walk in the door, we want you to know that you are loved and you are wanted. Because that's what Jesus does for all of us. He always meets us where we are. He never says, you have to get better before I'm going to be interested in you. He never says that anywhere in Scripture. He's always there right where we are. But the fourth guiding principle is that He's not going to leave you where He finds you, but instead, He's going to invite you on a journey to more. And that is what I hope that these next few weeks are going to be together as we go on a journey for more. And this truth is not just for us as individuals, but it's also for us corporately. Because God can use us to imagine for our own lives or for the people that live under the same roof that we live under. But He also wants to use that imagination for us as a community, for us as a group of people in a community, trying to demonstrate to those around them that God is good and God loves them and God wants to have a relationship with them. In Christ, there is never not a next. I want you to say that with me together. In Christ, there is never not a next. In the 9th century AD, there is a story of three monks who got into a small boat called a coracle. And I have a picture of this boat to show you. A coracle is a small, round, I won't even call it a boat. It's like a floating saucer that is made out of some kind of structure and usually covered underneath with animal hide. And you would get into this little floating structure, and you wouldn't want to necessarily get in the ocean, but you could get into a fairly still body of water. And you always had to have a paddle because there is no rudder. There is no direction to the hull. There is just, you get in, you're just going to float. You're going to float somewhere. And so there's a story of these three Irish monks who got into a coracle and then set themselves adrift. And they continued to drift until eventually they landed on the bank of Cornwall. They were collected by a group of people there and taken to the king, who at the time was King Alfred, and he had two very specific questions for them. He wanted to know, number one, where are you coming from? And number two, where are you going? The monks replied, according to the story, they said that they had stolen away because they desired, for love of God, to be in a state of pilgrimage. They recked not where. As we think about this story and about where we are in our own lives, I think these two questions are still very, very important questions for us to ask ourselves. The first one being, where have we come from? Where have we come from? Where have you come from? Over the last few weeks, we've heard some incredible stories as we went through our Knotted series, just talking about marriage and what happens when things don't necessarily go right, or how does God bring change? How do you have hope when right in front of you doesn't look like hope? And then also some stories of just victory, of things coming together. As we think about where we have come from, some of us in this room have come from really wonderful backgrounds, and our families were really healthy, and we were able to go and do life and felt pretty unmarred as we entered into life. And then others of us have come from really hard places. And so those hard places have created an expectation that life is not going to be good and life is not going to be full of joy and life is not about others. Instead, we have come to this place where we just expect bad things to happen. We may even look in the mirror and as we see ourselves, we don't see someone of value. We see somebody who doesn't have value, or perhaps we've learned through whatever systems we've grown up in that your value is based on what you do, not in who you are. And who you are is defined by some external thing that you've got to figure out and you've got to somehow become this thing rather than the fact that you are made in the image of God and you have value and you are worthy to be loved. Where we have come from is an incredibly difficult question, because for many of us, that one question will likely determine whether we believe we can go anywhere good. One of our basic foundational understandings has to be that God wants to do something. And God can do something. And it doesn't mean that what's come behind is not a part of what that is, but you also don't have to be stuck in what is behind. The idea of the three Irishmen in the coracle was simply that they were going to get in a boat unencumbered by where they have been, unencumbered by where they have to go, but instead they were just going to let the tides take them wherever they would in search of this love of God and to see where they were going to take them on this journey. A lot of the idea of imagining what might be next in your life is getting in a small round boat with no rudder and no paddle and simply saying, God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to be? A lot of times we approach our life believing the idea that somehow a good life and the kind of life that God is going to work through is the kind that is completely planned out. That has anyone in here, did you enter into life with the idea that you had to plan where it was going to go? I know when I graduated high school, I knew I was going to go to college, and I knew I was going to go make a lot of money, and that was before I thought about being a pastor, because that kind of changed all that. But I didn't really know where I wanted to go. We often grow up, and the expectation of paying bills and the expectation of making sure that we can do all the things that we want to do or that we daydream about leads us into some kind of passage where now I've got to go get the job that's going to fund this life, and I've got to work towards this goal. And for many of us, as you get older, the goal is retirement. I've got to get to this place of retirement, and I've just got to get there. And once I get there, then I will be there. And once I'm there, then life will be good. The problem is no one ever actually gets there. Well, they may get to retirement, but they never get to the place where they just sit and go, you know what? That's enough. This is good. I've just arrived. I've made a plan. I implemented the plan. I fulfilled the plan. And now everything has worked out exactly the way I hoped for. No one ever gets to that place. And instead, as we look around the world, our vision becomes very small in the idea that we've got to plan it all out. And if you've never truly daydreamed about what could be, you can easily settle for what is. If you've never daydreamed about what could be, you easily settle for what is. There have been times as throughout our marriage that Deidre and I will sometimes look at each other and say, you know what, I'm not happy with where things are. Because this is not where things could be, but it's where things are. And yet many times I talk to people and they're in a similar place, and rather than having an honest conversation about where they could be, they just settle for where things are. We can do that in our marriages. We can do that in our careers. We can do that in our lives. We can do that as a church. It's just kind of the way things are. And so we just do them. But rarely does a person live a life of passion where they simply settle for what is. Instead, passion is birthed out of what could be. And so the question for us today is, what could be for you in your life? Are you a person that's comfortable getting into a small round boat without an oar, without a paddle? Are you comfortable getting into that place and just letting the winds kind of blow you where you are? And I know some of you in here are totally okay with that. You're like, let's do it today. Where do I get one of these things? I'm ready to go. And others are like, I got to know where I'm going. I mean, we got to map it out. I got to make sure I got GPS and everything. And we want to get there as quick as we can. Just a quick survey. How many of you, when you go on a trip, take the most direct route? How many of you do that? All right. Are there any meanderers out there that you're like, how do I take the longest route? There's a few of you that will take the longest route. And you people don't understand each other. I'm just going to tell you, right, you don't understand. And what's hard is if you're married and you're both opposite. Yes, okay. I'm getting some confirmation. Yeah. When one of you wants to meander and one of you's like, we got to get there, so we're there. That can be a struggle. Do you know that can be a struggle in the church as well? That can be a struggle when your coworkers don't want to get to the place as fast as they can get to. Instead, they want to kind of stop and smell the roses, and you're thinking, no, we got to get there. We got to get it done. It's a harsh reality of where have we come from, what are our expectations of where we're going. But it's also a hard thing to come to that place in which we just say, life is good, God is good, where God takes us will be good, even if he doesn't follow the plan that I wrote on that napkin that one day. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we have a story of Abram that we've spent some time on as a church as we walk through Genesis. And this is one of those telltale stories that teaches us a life principle that we often want to read historically, and yet there's also something prescriptive to it about what a good life looks like. This is where we are introduced to Abram, and this is Genesis chapter 12, beginning verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This incredible passage of Scripture is an invitation from God to Abram to say, if you will trust me and get into a small round boat with no paddle and no oar, if you will let me push this boat where it needs to go, I will take you to somewhere amazing. I will take you somewhere that you will want to be. And this call to just simply get up and to go is a call that for some of us, we're waiting for somebody to give us permission. We're just waiting for that permission to go and do the thing that we just feel in our heart that we should do, but yet we feel like with all the circumstances around us, we can't. We're stuck right. We have responsibilities here. We have things we have to do here. We have bills to pay. We've got a plan to get to retirement. And yet his call to Abram was simply go from your country. As Christians, as believers, if this story doesn't go this way, everything in history as we know it changes. If Abram does not go, everything changes. Now, God is a dynamic God, and if Abram had said no, he would have gone to someone else, and someone else would have said yes. But one thing I don't want to experience in my life, and I don't want you to experience in your life, is if God is knocking on the door, inviting you to go, and you miss what he's wanting to have happen within your life. We relegate church or our faith or Christianity, we tend to relegate it to a list of activities that this is just what Christians do. And this is perhaps the most unfulfilling expression of faith that you could possibly have. We just have to do these things. Why do we do them? Because we're Christians. And a whole lot of people do a whole lot of things, and whenever they are quiet in a quiet place, they feel completely unfulfilled. A life walking with Christ is not meant to be unfulfilling. A life walking with Christ is not meant to be boring. A life walking with Christ is not meant to be something that we just check some boxes and hopes that we checked enough boxes to make it into heaven one day. Because the life and the journey that he's calling you to beyond a destination. He's calling you to a way of viewing life. A way of expressing life. A way of going after life. A way of experiencing what it's like to be made in the image of God. We tend to think about a journey as a plan God tends to think about a journey as all the things you're going to do along the way, no matter where you end up. I don't know about you, but I look back over my life. The older I get, my list starts piling up about things I could have done, should have done, would have done if I could go back and do it again. Do you all do that? You all are perfectly fulfilled? You all done everything you ever wanted to do? No missed opportunities? I get it. You can judge me. I'm the only one in the room that would have changed something in their past. I get it. I think you're lying, but I get it. All those things, well, they can pile up. And as you begin to look at your life based on the accomplishments or the lack of accomplishments, based on the times you won and the times you felt like you lost, the times that you tried something and the times that it worked out versus the times that it didn't work out, if you begin to look at your life based on a list of these things, pros and cons, good and bad, wins and losses, it doesn't matter how many wins you have, you will never feel like you have enough. When we look at the journey of our faith and the journey of our life, the journey of our marriages, the journey of our friendships, when we begin to look at just the way that our life unfolds from season to season, I mean, how many of us expected a pandemic to enter into our story? How many of us are still struggling to figure out what year it is? When we talk about how long ago was that? Anyone who asked me how long ago something was that was before 2020, I'm like, it was like 60 years ago, you know? 2018, 45 years ago, I don't know. It feels like it was 45 years ago. It's just kind of something was introduced into our lives we weren't looking for, we weren't expecting, but it just kind of changed everything in that moment. And there's a whole lot of people that responded to that simply by, I now have to fix all the things that I lost in that time, and there's just no way to do it. There's no way to fix or to get back or to go do all the things that you meant to do. Instead, life happened, and we could either have joy when that happens, or we can just kind of cower and shrivel and just wonder what's the next bad thing that's going to happen. God meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. Next week, we're going to be talking about Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 1. And this, what's so interesting is John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 are a very similar story, both of them all about creation and what was formed out of the void and what began to happen and then how that influences all of humanity today. This idea that God is just woven through the fabric of our hearts and our souls so that we may reject Christ, but yet have still something in us that draws us to something that is spiritual, something that is supernatural. It's just something about God, even if there are things we don't like about him, there's just something that draws us. I find that very few people are a blank slate when it comes to religion. There's very few people who are like, I mean, I don't know. Take it or leave it. I don't really have any feelings about it. And there's a reason when you have Thanksgiving dinner, you avoid religious topics with family members who don't have the same religious thoughts that you do. There's a reason you avoid that. It's one of the reasons we so enjoy election season. When we begin to talk about religion and politics and faith and everything, it's why it just brings us together. Like few things in this world can. You either feel strongly in one direction or another. But the reason that is because something is woven within us that began through the creation of everything. And all of us in this room and all of us who have ever taken a breath of air are trying to figure out how that fits. How does that work? What does that mean? What am I supposed to do? As we think about imagination, do you ever just stop and wonder, what might God want to do through me? I think a lot of times we think, what does God want me to do for him? That's not the same question. What does God want to do through me? Like, what impact does God want to make on others? But what impact does God want to have on us? What does God want to do through you? See, when we begin to think about what does God want to do through me, the question of where did I come from becomes a very relevant question, because if you feel like you come from a place that you have little to offer, you will not believe that God can do anything through you. And yet when God looks at you, as we've said over and over again, God created Adam and Eve, and he said it was good. In fact, he said all that he created was very good. And yet there's something about past bad experiences that want to deny the very reality that God created you to be very good. Very good. And he wants to do something through you. Do you ever stop and just imagine what that might be? Now, because we're talking about this in the context of a worship service, you would expect that part of the push that we're making in this direction is that means I want you to imagine how much money you're going to give the church. I mean, you're free to do that. I mean, if you like to. Or I want you to imagine what ministry you're going to start here, or what volunteer position you're going to take. And don't get me wrong, I'm hoping that for some of you, as you imagine, God may put some of those things in your heart. But if you take all of what God wants to do in and through you and make it has to happen on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, or it has to happen in the context of a planned church program, you are going to miss the beauty of following God into some uncharted territory. And when you begin to follow him into uncharted territory, it is the adventure of a lifetime, getting into a round boat and just letting it drift. You don't have to show up somewhere. You don't have to end up somewhere. You don't have to look like somebody else that you think a whole lot of. You're just going to drift. And you're just going to see what happens. What might God be calling you to? What might God be calling us to? Is it possible? Is it just possible that God has been just weaving something in you, an interest, an idea, just the very beginnings of a passion, and you let it sit there, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't really fit into your worldview. It doesn't fit into how your plan, or it doesn't fit into what you think church is supposed to be. Excuse me. It just doesn't fit. It just may be that God is helping you to imagine a thing that he wants to do in and through you. And here's the thing. It's going to involve other people. It's probably going to take other people to see the fulfillment of this big dream or this big idea that God might be birthing in you. It's going to take others to come alongside, but it also is probably going to impact other people. Abram's great call was not just to go. Abram's great call was in his faithfulness to go where God said that all the world would be blessed through him. And we know that that's through Jesus Christ. His call was to go and to follow, and God was going to bless others around them. Your desire, your passion, your dream is likely to fall somewhere under that overall call in which Abram had, which is, I want to bless the whole world through you. Now, if you're a person that has kind of a scarcity mindset, there's not enough, I can't worry about blessing others right now. I don't have enough blessing myself. I don't have any to spare. Then you're going to struggle with dreaming about big things, because God is going to want to use you for big things that are going to impact others. What does that look like? This journey that I'm inviting you in with myself does not have a desired outcome. I'm not going to be pushing you because I have this big idea and I want to wrap it in religious language over the next 4 weeks so that at the end when we vote on it as a church, you're going to say yes, because I've just pushed you for 4 weeks that's what God is telling me to do. And really what I want you to imagine is what I've already imagined and decided and planned. That is not what this is. This is an invitation to a journey for you to see what God wants to do as you're drifting in your own small round boat without a paddle. Some of you, I look around and I know your personalities and I know your kind of your backgrounds, and that feels incredibly irresponsible. You feel like, that's good, Mark. That's making a great sermon. I'm getting hungry. Let's wrap it up so we can go, because that will never, ever happen for me. That is so irresponsible. I can't handle people like that. They just kind of willy-nilly go through life. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I am suggesting that you take your hands off the reins enough that God can show you what he wants to do within your life. This journey, it begins with one step. And as you leave today, I want you to be thinking about what is a step. It's very possible you already know the step, but you need to take the step. It's very possible you already know what God's moving you towards, but you need to go ahead and take a step. You don't have to go the whole way. You don't have to make it there. If this vision of how you're going to bless a whole community is forming, you don't have to go do the whole thing. What's a step that you can take? As a church, we've discussed over the last year, honestly, that part of what we're doing and how we've ended up where we are here right now was, how do we take the next right step? Because there was not a master plan to end up having worship at Berks United Methodist Activity Center. That was not the master plan. But we continued to say, God, what is the next right step? And it has ended up being a good step. What is the step that you can take? It will never be the last step. There will always be a next. And if you are someone that feels that you are a constant disappointment, or I am just constantly stuck, or I just have nothing to offer, that denies a whole history of creation of God's work in humanity. Because there is not a single person in which Christ is not drawing us to a next, to something else, to something more, to something bigger. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Doesn't mean that we don't plan, but we don't let our plans overtake the work of God within our lives. We trust that he's going to do something amazing. I recognize that if you've been through hard things, or you feel at times life is, I don't think about heaven and hell. I just feel like sometimes my life is hell. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you ever feel that way, but my guess is that most of us at some point have felt that way about our lives. We're looking for God to rescue us, and we're looking for God to make all our bad things go away and only good things happen. It can lead you to a place of just thinking, well, maybe God isn't interested in me, or maybe this imagining thing is for others but not for me. But what if God's plan is bigger than the shortest route to whatever your definition of blessing is? What if the hard things within your life are God still doing something? He wanted those hard things to happen. In the 6th century, there was a monk called Brendan the Navigator. A story was written about him, and he was searching for a promised land, a place full of good food and land, and where they could be prosperous, where God would bless them, a kind of modern-day Eden that they could find somewhere on the face of the planet. And so he and these other monks got into a boat, and as the story goes, he spent the next 7 years just traveling from place to place before they ever hit land. At one point, they thought they hit land. They thought they had found an island, but it ended up being a sea monster. Other times, they endured storms and sickness and heartache and heartbreak and just lots of hard things. But then
Eventually, they found the island. And what's interesting about the story is most of the story has nothing to do with when they found the island. Most of the story, if you go look it up and if you want to read it, it's all about the voyage. And so it leads him to this place of asking God, why have you taken us through the storms? And why did you take us in the midst of the sea monsters? And why did you take us to a place of heartache? Why did you do all those things? If you want us to reach this promised land, why didn't you just take us there? This is from that story. It says, this is God's response to Brendan. He says, this is the land which you have sought for so long. You were not able to find it immediately because God wished to show you his many wonders in the great ocean. Return now to the land of your birth, taking with you fruit from this land and as many gems as your boat can carry. The day of your final journey is approaching when you shall sleep with your fathers. After the passage of many years, this land will be revealed to your successors. And I think this is a pretty fascinating story for a number of reasons. One is, God said, I wanted you to see the many wonders of the world. I didn't just want you to get to the place of blessing. Many times we miss the wonders of the world in our attempt to escape difficult things. And yet God wants to do some amazing things through that. The story didn't focus on the arrival. Instead, it focused on the journey. And it said this about the end of their journey. Now take what you have found and give it to others as you are approaching your last days on earth. When I graduated high school, and some of you are headed to new semesters to teach, or we've got some, I think, going into middle school, some going into college, going into high school. As you think about that season of life when you're kind of entering into that time, we just imagine that we're going to go in and we're going to experience all of these great things in this coming year. And we're going to plot a course that we're going to get a good job that makes a good amount of money. And the American dream says is that by the time I'm 50, if I'm smart, 55 for those of us who are 50, 65 for those of us who are 55, 75 for those of us who are 60. You know how it goes. I'm going to get there, and once I get there, I can relax and I can enjoy life. And it's not an uncommon meme to see people say, don't just wait and work your entire life to enjoy the last few years. Enjoy your life along the way, which I think is good advice. But part of the story of Brendan is, stop trying to get to the place where life is good. Stop working yourself to death to get to the place where you can say, now I've arrived. When I look at my seniors and I look at those people that have gone through retirement and then they have arrived and now they sit and they just kind of relax and just kind of do whatever is fun, but they no longer dream. And they no longer work towards something, and they no longer have any purpose other than how today can I just enjoy whatever my day is going to be. It is amazing how quickly someone deteriorates in that mindset. And that doesn't mean you need to work until your last breath. That's not what I'm working for. I don't want to work till my last breath. But if you're not working towards something, you are missing a part of the journey that God created us for. I truly believe that as we look through Scripture and the way that Scripture talks about our elders are the ones who guide those coming behind them. And we can't do that if we're not spending time investing in those who are younger. The elevation of elders is not because of your age. You've deserved a spot of dignity. The elevation of elders is you have achieved something in walking with Jesus. Now help those people who haven't walked with Jesus as much learn how to do it too. Invest. Help. If you think in this world, as you get older, you feel less relevant. Well, let's be honest, we are. Because my kids will ask me if I know about this thing that everyone under 40 knows about. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. You don't know what that is? No, I don't know what that is. You know, we become less relevant around trendy things that honestly don't really matter. But what you gain in experience in going through hard things, and one of those lessons is, if you encounter a storm, like, you're going to get through it. I know, because I can't tell you how many storms I went through, and I thought, this is it. Ship's going down. It's over. Game over. And then the storm ended, and I kept going. I've needed people at different times in my life to say, Mark, it feels like the ship's going down, but you know what? God is so good. You're going to get through this storm, and I've got good news for you. There's more storms coming, which doesn't feel very encouraging. But the point is this storm is going to end, and you can make it. And you're going to think that you're not going to make it because that's what I thought, but I made it. And you know how I knew that I was going to make it? Because someone else who went through that, they told me they thought they weren't going to make it, but they did make it. And I believed them. And so I could make it. We hear the stories of others. And just like Brendan was encouraged to take the bounty of this land that he has found and take it back to others, we take these lessons we learn, these passions that have driven us, we take these ideas of what God wants to do, and we pass them on to others because that's what followers of Jesus do, because that's what Jesus did. Continue to pass on to others. Your life needs purpose that involves others. What does that look like for you? It's going to look like work sometimes. It's going to look like sacrifice sometimes. It's going to look like doing things you don't want to do and not doing some things you want to do, because that's just what life looks like. I was reminded of that this morning. This weekend, Jonathan and I went and spent some time with some of his high school buddies. They were all graduating or already graduated. Before they all go off into their different directions, we wanted to get everybody together, and the dads in this group, we've all become good friends over the years. And so we decided we were going to take a weekend and we were going to go rent a cabin. We're going to go play golf, which none of the dads were very good at golf, but the kids had fun and we had fun doing it with them. And we rented this cabin, and as we drove up to it, the driveway was like a 45 degree angle. I don't know who decided this was a good place to put a cabin, because the pictures did not show the driveway. And it's a 40. One of the dads, like he went halfway up the driveway and stopped, and literally had to back down because his car would not move again, and he had to get a running start to get up the hill. And then I brought some pictures. This is, I know you're thinking, Mark, you're old if those stairs are a lot, but every time the kids never said a thing, but every time the dads walked up the stairs, I won't recreate what we did, because it was pretty embarrassing. We were just done. We had to sit down, catch our breath. One of the dads was like, listen, I'm serious. This is not a joke. Do any of you have any kind of paramedic training? Because I may need it. And I'm like, listen, we don't even have a cell signal up here. Those were the stairs. So we played our last round of golf yesterday, and I was, just stay there. Don't go to that last picture yet. And I was like, well, I need to be at church, so I'm going to leave super early. So I was up about 5:30, and I got my stuff and quietly packed up. And I mean, just no joke, the climb up these stairs was so bad, once we got to the house, no one wanted to leave, because that meant when we came back, we had to climb the stairs again. And so I had my bag, and I bring my pillow for those others of you who have to have your pillow. Anybody else? Thank you. And I'm like, and then I had all these board games that I did not want to trust, because Jonathan was coming back later. I did not want to trust that they would make it back, because I would be in trouble with all the rest of my kids if they didn't make it back home. And I'm like, how can I get everything down in one trip? Because it's too much work to come back up those stairs. No joke. I'm just being honest. I know I'm out of shape and that I'm not endearing myself to you. But this was a real thing. So this morning, I just like, Mark, just do it. Just make two trips. Come back up. Get the games. So I took my stuff down, and I'm walking back up. And it just so happens this is the time that the sun is coming up. And so I take this last picture this morning at about 6 o'clock. Now, that 45-degree angled driveway put our cabin at the very top of a mountain, so that as we looked out over the porch, you just could see the valley. And if you want to know why they call them the Smoky Mountains, you all probably already know, you're living in East Tennessee. It is because you will be above the clouds, and then the clouds will just look like smoke hovering over the mountains. And I just stopped. I just stopped. I would not have seen this sunrise if I hadn't taken the trek back up the stairs. I can't tell you how much I didn't want to come back up the stairs. But I did it. And like St. Brendan, who said, "Why would you make me go through all that hard stuff?" I felt in that moment God was saying, "I let you go through hard things because I want you to see the many wonders of the world around you. And unless you are willing to go through hard things, you will miss some of them. And I want you to see them." As we go through these next few weeks, what wonders does God want you to see? What does God want to do within you? What vision does He want to birth? Let me give you absolute permission. You can unhitch your vision from journey. But I hope you'll involve us in some way. This is not some kind of self-serving series just to get you to do what we want. I truly believe that if we are a community of people that unhitch our expectation of a future and instead we let God begin to move us into a way that wants to change the world for the better, that we will be a part of more amazing things that way than us trying to figure out how to have the most effective programming on a Sunday morning. You to begin imagining this week, what does it look like to birth that vision for God to move you, to get in your coracle and without a paddle and just let it let you drift until you come to the place where God perfectly wanted you to be. You may go through a storm. You may already have been through a storm. But there are many wonders that He wants you to see. And joining Him on this adventure, we imagine what could be next. What could be, what should be, which is far greater than what is right now. Pray with me.